I think the issue is that after all these years, we've gone through whole periods when there was real hope. And in the early days with the first inquests and then the potential of criminal charges, and all of that came to nothing. And I started researching with the families weeks after the disaster and was supported by Liverpool City Council in that work. And we produced two major reports, one in 1990 and one in 1995, where we were contesting the findings of the initial inquests, which were accidental death. And those inquests were, at that time, the longest inquests in legal history. And we were also contesting the argument put by the state that there was nobody that they felt should be prosecuted, when we felt there had been real police negligence and also stadium safety and other issues. That went on through the 1990s until we got to 2000. And that was the point at which we felt that there might be a breakthrough. I had just published the first edition of Hillsborough, The Truth, and I'd gone through meticulously all of the work that had gone on previously to demonstrate that there was real culpability in terms of the authorities and particularly the police. And it was covered by all the national newspapers. The book was serialized in the Sunday Mirror. And it said, you know, the truth at last. We'd reveal that the statements of all police officers, for example, had been reviewed and altered by a team of six police officers and senior police officers internally. And it looked at that point that there was a major breakthrough. And, of course, it all came to nothing. What we then had were the what we call the 10 fallow years, when literally nothing happened until after several conversations before the 20th anniversary of Hillsborough and in front of 30-odd thousand people at Anfield, Liverpool's ground, Andy Burnham, who was then Minister of State for Culture, spoke at that at the memorial. And It was never the policy to have politicians addressing the memorial service. It's, after all, a memorial service. But he committed his government to delving deeper into Hillsborough, and that's how the Hillsborough Independent Panel was established. And I headed the research based at Queen's University in Belfast with my research team, and that produced then the Hillsborough Independent Panel report. So it was a 400-page report that exonerated the fans completely and actually argued that the inquests had been deficient, that the investigations had been deficient, and revealed that the ground itself was an accident waiting to happen. The consequence of that was the initial inquest verdicts of accidental death. They were quashed, and new inquests were ordered, and between 2014 and 2016, now again the longest inquests in legal history, new inquests were held, and the jury found that all who died hadn't died accidentally, but were unlawfully killed. It exonerated the fans completely of any responsibility, and it made it clear that the deficiencies in safety in the stadium, the negligence of the club, the issues around policing, there were 15 major criticisms of the policing, 25 criticisms of the institutions overall, and that then has led now to prosecutions. And of course, we can't go into the prosecutions at the moment because the case is alive.
It's very interesting that the screenings and question and answer sessions are taking place in Derry, because you've alluded to this already. The links between the Justice for the 96 campaign and the Bloody Sunday campaign and Derry City in general have been long-standing links, and great friendships were forged between the two cities as a result of those two campaigns over the years.
I think there was always a real understanding that once we'd had the findings of the Bloody Sunday inquiry, that a whole range of people, and not just in Derry, but across the north, a whole range of people felt that there was now hope that full and thorough investigations would be held, particularly where authorities were being held to account. And of course, the Hillsborough families visited Derry, as they visited Belfast, but also many other places where there have been outstanding inquiries. And, of course, that gave them support. But what was really important and significant was that once the findings became clear from the inquest and the inquests were held, that has opened the door for many others, particularly in the north of Ireland, to hope that their inquests will now be held, in some cases after four decades. And not only that their inquests will be held, but also that there will be more full and thorough inquiries into a range of cases that are clearly outstanding here.
You were the factual consultant to the film that is being shown over the next two nights. So from your point of view, you're very much standing over the content of that film.
Yeah, I mean, I was factual consultant to the film, but I'm also involved in the film itself. My interviews run right through the film. In fact, it's one of the very few films that runs for 2 hours where there is no commentary. And I suppose you could say that my interview is the kind of glue that holds the thing together, although I'm giving very clearly the testimony of the research and the work that we've done down those near three decades. I think the other issue to say about the film, which incidentally only this week has won the Grierson Award for Factual Documentaries in London, an incredibly prestigious award, as well as a BAFTA earlier in the year, and of course the Virgin Media Awards, which was that is voted for by broadcasters and journalists themselves. So the film, obviously I can stand over the content of the film, but also what is really important is that the recognition that's been brought, that's brought throughout the film and media industries, but also throughout the nation. I mean, I think the film itself has been part of that, but I also think that the reversal of the inquest verdict, which is where the film ends, that itself has been absolutely crucial in bringing to a much wider audience the reality of Hillsborough. I think when people watch, you know, my book is 15 chapters, and that goes in depth, but in 2 hours, people can watch a film, and in watching that film, they get the full hit of the story, and they realize, not in every detail, that's all in the book, but they realize while they're watching it just what the extent of the case that the police and other authorities put together in defending themselves. And I think one of the points I always make is that, you know, we're not dealing here with, you know, acts of so-called terrorism. We're not dealing here with major major threats. We're dealing with 96 men, women, and children who went to a football match, and you know that's where it raises the question that if state forces are willing in that situation to play fast and loose with the truth when people die at a football match, it means that you know all situations where there are numbers of people who die in controversial circumstances have to be examined and scrutinized meticulously.